Here's your latest weekly briefing from the Population Research Institute at pop.org. With China's abortion abuses exposed, the once-shunned scholar Stephen Mosier has been vindicated. This article by Monica Showalter appeared in The American Thinker on August 5, 2019. It's funny, she writes, how truth will out sometimes. Here's news of a new documentary that's being promoted by the left-leaning Daily Beast. Winner of the Grand Jury Prize at this year's Sundance Film Festival and premiering in select theaters on August 9th, courtesy of Amazon, directors Nanfu Wang and Jialeng Zhang, heart-rending documentary examines their native China's one-child policy, which functioned as a systematic attack on its female population and which resulted in collateral damage on an international scale. In effect, from 1979 to 2015, China's one-child policy, which is now a two-child policy, placed strict guidelines on reproduction in order to curb population growth, which Wang's mother proclaims, parroting the Communist Party line, might otherwise have led to famine and potential cannibalism. Urban citizens were limited to a single child, while rural inhabitants were, in the mid-1980s, granted the opportunity to have a second one. The law outlined strict punishment for noncompliance, the destruction of homes, forfeiture of property and valuables, and steep fines. Those who suffered those penalties, however, got off easy, since local family planning officials, empowered by the Communist Party, also had the authority to abduct women, tie them up, and force them to undergo sterilizations and abortions as late as 8 to 9 months into their pregnancies. Well, so far, the Daily Beast, which is indeed a left-wing outfit. Ms. Showalter continues, they're reporting this as if it's news, and in some ways it is. But it's not as though it's something no one knew before. Perhaps in their left-wing intellectual elitist bubble it was, but in the greater world at large it was known. In fact, the horrors described were always out there. They were put out there by people who were reviled for doing it, back when China chic was the in thing, and everyone who was anyone in the Beltway in academic circles fell all over himself to kowtow to the Chinese government. Remember Stanford scholar Stephen Mosier? Way back in the 1980s, the man was reviled in scholarly circles for exposing just those brutal realities about China. Instead of being praised for adding to the scholarly body of knowledge, he was abused, slandered, accused of process crimes, and eventually kicked out of his PhD program because he reported the truth about what was happening. This was all at the urging of the Chinese government, which wanted all news of its cruelty kept hidden, the lies-to-violence cycle that Alexander Solzhenitsyn described as so necessary to all totalitarian tyrannies. I recall that controversy, Ms. Showalter writes, back when I was a student studying Chinese history and my professor called Mosier a rat. Bad word in China, a rat, because of his revelations about China's forced abortions and human rights violations angered the Chinese Communist government and caused it to limit opportunities for scholarly research on China. Yet, the only thing Mosier was really guilty of was the highest responsibility of a scholar, which was to tell the truth. And as your host, I will interject here that when Mr. Mosier's departure was first reported in the press as a staffer on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee in Washington, I called him up, and after a long month of being brushed off by folks at Stanford, I finally reached him at his mother's home. "You are the first person who supported me," he said quietly, when I told him of my intention to invite him to Capitol Hill and testify before the Foreign Relations Committee and tell the truth about China. It took some time, but even the liberals on our committee were stunned when they heard the truth about China, although I have the feeling that one or two of them had known already and were less stunned than they were upset at our having brought this out into the open, thanks to Senator Jesse Helms of North Carolina. Back to Ms. Showalter. There were all kinds of signs that Mosher was telling the truth over the years. Remember Liu Xiaoying? She is a saint to rival Mother Teresa, based on her defiance of China's inhuman juggernaut in the name of saving helpless and discarded babies. All this despite her own penury. She knew the truth and witnessed to it as well. It was only a few years ago that word of her great deeds was made known to the wider world. Now that the luster is off China, its economy is in the crapper. Its internet repression is getting famous. Its military machine is getting aggressive abroad, and its brutal totalitarian machine is revving up to destroy the tiny island of freedom of Hong Kong. It seems safe for the elites to come out and tell the truth. I'm glad they made this documentary, she says. Of course, but it's not exactly news or even courageous to do it at this point. What it reveals in its own way is the cowardice of the elites. This documentary is out, it's making news, and it doesn't make Stanford, which expelled the truth-telling Mosher, look good. It doesn't make any of the academic elites who badmouthed Mosher look good either. And for that matter, the same goes for those who trashed people like the late Harry Wu, who told the truth about China's Laogai Gulag system and its systematic repression in Xinjiang. It highlights how repressive this stateside apologist system for China has been. The movie is out. It says the same things Mosher says and said for years. Stephen Mosher now stands vindicated. Maybe the next documentary should go beyond China's atrocious record to the enabling racket in the West that did so much to vilify the truth-tellers of the past 50 years. It would be the right sort of indication for those who spoke the truth and paid a price. Thank you, Ms. Showalter, and this is your PRI review from pop.org. Thanks for listening.